Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, let's switch gears and talk a little baseball, the national pastime. I don't know that there's a better postseason than postseason baseball. Three-time World Series winner, 14-year Major League veteran, Mr. Jeremy Affeldt joins us next. And Jeremy, we got a lot to get to. One, you spent the prime of your career with Bruce Bochy, won 3 World Series with him over in San Francisco. But before we get to that, as I texted you before, I'm old enough to remember back when you were a Kansas City Royal, back when your boy David Glass was running that program into the ground. But that's another story for another show. But I'll tell you what, two things jump to mind real quick. Number one, you started out as a starter, and then you moved to the bullpen. I'm surprised why more big-time guys don't take that jump, go the John Smoltz route at the end of their career. Curious to get your thoughts on that. And then B, what is the difference in regular season versus postseason baseball?
Yeah, I think, for me, with the going from the rotation to, the bullpen, one, it was a – I think the Royals had an identity scenario there where they just couldn't figure it out, right? They didn't know, where to put some of us. They were always mixing and matching. They were constantly trying to figure it out. And we're a lot of young guys coming up. And if they would have let us, fail a little bit and kind of let us just play stuff out, it would probably been better for a lot of us that pitched there. For me, I think it had to do with I was actually throwing real well when I switched to the bullpen permanently. Originally, I went to the bullpen because I had blister issues.
Okay.
And so they moved me. I made the team. I was a starter in the minor leagues the whole time. Then I made the team as a reliever because they wanted me on the team. And then I went to the rotation, and I started getting these blister issues that were pretty bad. And I just couldn't figure it out. And so it was kind of a deal where it's like, all right, let's close you because you've got high velocity from the left side. We need a closer. And then my buddy Mike McDougal came up, threw well, real well. He became the closer. I went back to the rotation. So it was kind of a mix and match.
Right.
And then finally they just said, hey, we're just gonna put you in the bullpen. And I just got so frustrated with the situation over there because there was no scenario that was ever going to fit for me. And they traded me because they wanted to give me an out, which was great. They wanted me, Dayton Moore, in fact, when he traded me, he said, hey, he wrote me a letter. It was really awesome. And he said, I felt like you just needed a fresh start. I think you have a bright career ahead of you. I think you just need a fresh start somewhere else. And so it was a really good a letter. And when I got to Colorado, they called me that the off season after my little 2-month situation with them was over, when they traded me, they said, we're going to keep you. I want you to think about being the best left-handed bullpen guy you can possibly be. And that's what I did. I kind of I flew out and saw a pitching coach, Mike Mason, who worked for the Royals. I went to his house. He revamped my delivery, and then that was all she wrote. I actually became a pretty effective left-handed reliever once I started revamping all that stuff and fixed my breaking ball. And then Cincinnati, I learned my sinker from David Weathers. And then that changed my entire career, to be honest with you.
Well, adding the sinker?
For the sinker. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that changed everything. Yep.
How so?
I was a four-seam guy with a curveball, kind of an 11-4 curveball, and I could remember Todd Helton would always tell me, he's like, man, you're the hardest throwing pitcher I've ever seen hit, give up the hardest hits. And I couldn't figure out why that was.
Yeah.
And finally David Weathers sat me down, because it was just a up and down. I couldn't get consistent. I'd dominate or just give up rockets. And he said, because you need movement. I want you to try to back off, throw a sinker with that breaking ball. If you throw a sinker and just get ground balls and quit trying to strike everybody out, your career will change. And I trusted him.
Yeah.
At the All-Star break, and him and I played catch pretty much every day for about 2 weeks, real early. And he taught me his sinker, and I would throw it at 80%. And I remember the first time I ran into the game, I was facing the Astros, and I faced Lance Berkman. I faced him every single time that we played the Astros. I'd face Berkman, and I faced him, and I had a 2-1 count. And he was sitting just a 4-seam, just ready to, and we were in Cincinnati, so I'm sure he's licking his chops, about ready to hit it 900 feet. And right. I threw a sinker at him, and he hit the ball right into the ground at second base, and he's running up the line. He looks over at me. He's like, wait, you have a sinker now? And I looked at him, and I said, I don't know. Did it sink? And he just shook his head, because it's not the scouting report. And then the next day he sees me, I throw him another sinker, and he grounds it to second. And then I threw all curveballs for the next 3 at bats against him. He got mad at me because I would never throw him a fastball again. But it was kind of, you know, it was kind of those things where I was like, man, I'm going to try it. And I lived off it. And in San Francisco from 09 to 15, I probably threw 85-90% sinkers and the rest curveballs and splits. I didn't really have to throw anything other than a sinker. I just got ground ball for ground ball and had a power sinker. I threw it into the low to mid 90s. And Buster didn't want to call anything else. He said, it's a good sinker, man, so we're just going to stick with it. And that's all I threw. It was great.
Wasn't Derek Lowe a big sinker pitcher, too? Wasn't that his?
Derek Lowe was, yep.
That was his go-to,
Derek
wasn't
Lowe
it?
Was big for Boston. Yeah. I mean, nasty sinker. Like almost, and Jason Grimsley, same thing. Jason Grimsley was a big bowling ball sinker guy. They all kind of, and I was thankful for it because I think it extended my career, allowed me to pitch. I didn't have to overthink. I threw 1 4-seam. Bochy wanted me to. I was facing Upton, and I said, I'm going to try to get him. He said, I want you to get beat away. So I tried to throw a 4-seam. One time, I switched to a 4-seam to beat Upton. He hit it off the Girardelli train in San Francisco. And it went so far. I mean, I looked at A.J. Hinch was the manager of the Diamondbacks at the time. I looked, and he was my catcher with the Royals. And I looked over at AJ, and AJ just looked at me and goes, wow. And I'm like, did that? I mean, it went so far. I look in our dugout, and Kane's got his hat over his face because he's laughing so hard. And I'm trying not to laugh because I want Bochy to get mad at me. So I'm like, oh, God. And I came walking into the dugout, and I said, that's the last 4-seamer I'm ever going to throw. And Boats looked at me and said, hey, I want you to get beat away, but not that far away. And I was like, thanks. I mean, that's the last and final 4-seam I ever threw in San Francisco. I never threw one again after that.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a solid Boch impersonation too, by the way. And it's a perfect segue.
Well, I had a lot of talks with him, so I could probably replicate it.
Okay, so let's get into Boch. Cause this has been an interesting last few days. He brings the Rangers their first ever World Series, and then these last 2 years have just been, I mean, it's just been a very bizarre last couple years for a team that, let's call it what it is, pretty much kept everybody intact. I mean, yeah, you made a few changes here and there, but the core of this team, the Marcus Simeons, the Adolis Garcias, the Corey Seegers, the Josh Youngs, the Jonah Heims, like, everybody was still there, A little bit about, what is Bochy's coaching style like, and what do you think ultimately was the undoing?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, Bochy, one, he doesn't have a problem. You know, a lot of these guys you hear, he likes veteran guys, or, you know, like the Lou Piniellas, right, where he couldn't stand rookies type thing. And,
sure.
But Bochy wasn't really like that. He took the talent that he had, but he also liked consistency. And he liked that if people were performing, to keep him around.
Okay.
Like, he loved it because he develops a rapport with these guys, but he also trusts scenarios, right? So if you can, I mean, when he was with the Giants, it was the same way. You had eight of us that were a part of all three of the World Series, right? You had the bullpen that you never get to spend 6-7 years with one team, and the core four was there for like the 7 years. I mean,
wow.
He just liked, once he had his guys, he wants to try to build around. He doesn't mind rookies coming in. They're just not going to next necessarily be a fixture.
Okay.
Or there's going to be rookies like the Crawford or the Buster or the Belts that, yes, you're going to get brought in because of talent that way, but he knows pitching wins. So if he can keep a veteran core around him, he's going to want to keep that and mix in young guys that have talent and let them kind of get into the slot of like, okay, we're just going to bring them into the fold and they're going to be veterans, or they're going to get comfortable in a year or two, and then you run with it. So I think he likes some consistent stuff with some new additions, but I know when it comes to pitching, he wants guys that throw strikes. When they brought us in, they brought me in 09, they brought Bob Howry in 09, we threw strikes, right? If I walked guys, usually it was intentional because I could get ground balls, so I would pitch around guys and I would try to get them to hit my pitch, but I didn't really want to throw anything too hittable because I knew there's a lefty or a switch hitter on deck. I'm going to throw power sinkers and get a double play ball. That's he knew that's how I strategized.
Okay.
For things. But Bob Howry could, I mean, if you remember him with the Cubs and what, that guy could spot. I mean, he could throw right on that black on the plate. And he wanted guys later in the game, so he brought us in to help some of the young, like the Romos before he was, you know, who he became. And Brian Wilson was a young closer, and, you know, so he was bringing in some of us for that, knowing he had Kane and Lincecum, and, you know, he had some pretty dominant starters for us to come in with. But he liked the veterans mixing in the rookies. I think that's what he liked, and I think you see that with Texas. They won a World Series. He keeps those guys because, like, this is a winning team. These are winners. The problem is what Boats can't always foretell, and no, not everybody can. You can kind of assume it at times. They're going to get old.
Yeah.
Or they're going to play so much that baseball is hard on your body. And when you have to go to the playoffs and when you're playing intense baseball, it wears you down. And some of these guys are just getting hurt over and over again. They can't. You know, and that's what happened this year. Your big guys are talented, but they get hurt, you know, Simeon getting hurt at the end. You know, I think, you know, and then you got your shortstop and your second baseman are key fixtures of your lineup all getting hurt. That's a really, really, really tough thing to win with. You can't keep that going. You have to pitch 2-0 ball games. And in this game, in this era,
that's hard to do.
It's impossible. Like, it's just not built for that. But if you don't have an offense, you're just not. Now the game's built where it's, if you can't put up 4 or 5 runs a game, you're just not going to do well. You know, you're just not.
Yeah.
And with the injuries that they had, you know, and sending out, I mean, they sent out guys even that are in the big leagues. They sent them out to give them a break. And then you have Valdi that are blowing out their shoulder, you know, but he's thrown so much his innings. I mean, that guy's been around a while, you know?
No, he really
has. You know, so, like, it's really, really tough. But Bochy, he can manage. The one thing about him is if he's in the playoffs, he will win. And you will see that. I mean, look at his playoff record. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, he knows how to win in the playoffs, and he can win in the regular season, but he likes to build teams, and he knows once he gets to the playoffs, he can run a chess match because he can use starters in the bullpen. He's got days off. He can sit there and mix and match, and that's what makes him so good. You got to get him to the playoffs, and that's tough to do when you're hurt all the time.
Well, there's that, and then you know the story we're hearing too. And again, look, it's all speculation. Now, apparently, Chris Young offered him a senior advisory role in the front office. So you know, no word, TBD on whether he takes that role or not. We've already heard that he's not going back to San Francisco. But again, the scuttlebutt around here is that they want to trim payroll, they want to get rid of Marcus Semien, and they want to go in a younger direction. So I just wonder, especially based off everything you just said. Why wouldn't you want Bochy around for that, if that's the case?
Yeah, I think it comes down to, some of the stuff you hear, and I haven't talked to Boch since. I mean, I've talked to him quite a bit this year, but I have not talked to him, so I have no idea. I mean, you got to remember, he retired already.
Sure.
So the guy, I mean, and he probably, I can say this because, he's not anywhere near me to strangle me or anything, but the dude's old, man. He's 72 years old. I mean, at some point I'm like, hey man, like you're a shoe-in Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You've won 4 World Series. You've been a part of a bunch of them. Like you're good. You are good. And I know you're a lifer, man. I know you're a lifer, but travel's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard on you, man. And getting up there in age and doing all that. Like for me, If he can't be all in, I have to go with a new manager, right?
Sure.
And sometimes you're like, I don't know if these guys the direction that we're going is going to be a direction that Boch wants to deal with, because I don't think he really wants to. I wouldn't, if I were him, deal with a bunch of young guys and try to get them to play baseball. I don't want to deal with that. I want to deal with guys that know how to play the game, and let's bring a few young guys in to teach them. But I don't have time to work with a bunch of young guys and deal with some chaos. If Bochy had to manage the Rockies right now, guy would probably look like he's 90, right? Because he's like, are you kidding me? I'm not freaking dealing with this stuff, because it's just a mess over there. So I think there always comes time for me, it's like, hey, man, let's do a special. I'm sure Buster is going to probably offer him the same thing. Everybody wants his wisdom.
Sure.
If I'm a GM or if I'm a president of a team, I want him. I want your wisdom because I know I'm going to go after a younger manager and I need you to mentor him, which means give him some thoughts to think about why he's managing. Boch just probably doesn't need to live it for 162 games. I think that to me is the tough thing. And I think he's at that place in his life where, man, I don't know. I just couldn't imagine doing that. I mean, I retired. Part of it, I wanted to raise my sons, but it's a lot on the road. You have to be dedicated to be gone that much. And I cannot imagine doing that at 70. So, I mean, I'm, if I were him, I'd be like, man, just go drink your wine, kick your feet up, and then critique and bury all the managers that you think are doing a bad job because you can armchair coach now for a while. It's great.
Well, and so, we know he loves to fish too. So, I mean, he's got the best of both worlds, right? So, and I mean, apparently he's got like, what is it? Like something, what is it? And of course I don't drink, but he's got like a barrel of whiskey or something like that. So, I mean, you're big time when you got like your own barrel of
Yeah, well, now you lift that whiskey out of the bag, I'll be testing it.
There you go. He said it on a pregame show. Bro. So, again,
I don't see any of that whiskey at my house. You better start sending stuff my way.
All right, two things. And Jeremy, I could talk to you all day. We got to do this again. And shout out to our boy Bitter Mike for putting us in contact together. He said you were phenomenal, and I could talk to you all day. Two things. One of my biggest issues with this baseball team, and I'm talking about the Texas Rangers going into this year, was you spent $241 million you had the seventh highest payroll going into the season. You were a World Series contender, and that wasn't just hyperbole. I mean, again, this was a team that a lot of people thought was going to make some noise this year. And you went in with no designated closer. Like, Luke Jackson was supposed to be the guy, and he had never really been a closer before, and they thought so lowly of him by midseason that they DFA'd him, right? And that was a bugaboo all season long. So from that aspect, I want to know just, how hard is it to, from a bullpen perspective when you go the closer by committee route? And then number two, who do you like in this year's postseason?
I absolutely hate closer by committee. I do not like it. And Boch had it at one time, And he had to sit me down. He's like, we're going to do closer by committee. And I looked at him and I'm like, this is a terrible idea. And he said, I know you think it's a bad idea, but you need to get on board, because if you're not on board, then the bullpen's going to all fall into that. I know you don't like it. I said, I don't like it, not because I don't think you know what you're doing. I don't like it because we have to prepare for our roles.
Yeah.
And if I have to sit there in the sixth inning and then all of a sudden get ready, get locked in for the seventh, and then you don't use me, and all of a sudden you use me in the ninth because it hit the fan and now that role came up, I don't like that. I don't like it because I'm willing to give you everything I have and I'm mentally prepared, I'm mentally focused. If I have a consistent role, I'm going to do better. Sure. And I remember I gave into him a little bit at it, where I kind of, he sat me down and said, okay. But that's when we got to the playoffs. And the one thing I learned from him in the playoffs is there is no roles. I can prepare for that. There is no role. Be ready. And he did. He threw me in 2014 innings 2 through 10. I pitched in every inning. I was one of the only pitchers in history to do it. Wow. The only inning I did not pitch is the first inning.
Okay.
But the only reason it worked is because it's the playoffs.
Sure.
Because you have 21, you got to win 11 games. You know, you got to win 11 games to win the World Series.
Okay.
I believe that's what it is, right? 20, you got to win 11, right? Yeah, yeah, you got to win 11. So you have to go at it and give it everything you got. But I cannot, there's no way a bullpen will hold up for 162 games where you do not have a role, because the guys will get burnt out.
And makes sense.
You saw it in San Francisco when Kapler was there running a closer out in the ninth and he pitched the guy in the third the next day. You cannot do that. You cannot do that, because they cannot sit there and try to be focused for every single inning for 162 games. I mean, a starter gets paid $30, $40 million a year to be mentally prepared for once every five.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell a bullpen, hey, you need to be prepared for any role every single day. They won't do well. They'll burn out. They'll try to do too much. Then they get in their own heads, and then they just can't. They don't even pitch how they're supposed to pitch. So the only way you can win and get to the playoffs and win in the playoffs is have a bullpen that is set and understood what their roles are. And it doesn't mean I'm going to pitch in every seventh, but I might pitch the eighth, I might pitch the seventh, I might have to come in the sixth, finish it, and pitch the seventh. I get that. But don't bump me all over the place. Like, you can't do that. And don't close me by committee. Those last three outs, yes, mentally you can say, well, I don't want to give up a run no matter what. It doesn't matter. Those last three outs, the best hitters in the world are in Major League Baseball, and they're backed against the wall. They're going to give you their best at bats.
Yeah.
If the game's on the line. It just is. So so it's really, really hard. There's a lot of energy that goes into it, and it's mental focus and mental makeup. You have to have a bullpen. You have to have a set closer. If you do not have a role as a closer, you'll see teams not make the playoffs. I don't see one team that's ever won a world championship, and I've rarely seen make the playoffs, that don't have a back end of the bullpen that's set and ready to go. If you don't have that, you won't win. If you try to do it, it won't work.
All right, 30 seconds. 30 so, seconds, real quick. Like I said, 30 seconds or less, who wins World Series?
Oh, well, shoot. Whoever's hotter at the time. I do not want the Dodgers, obviously. So anybody but them. Anybody, let's go with this. Anybody but the Dodgers.
I love
it. That's my pick.
I love it. Jeremy, I'll tell you what, my man, this has been phenomenal. Great talking to you. A lot of great insight. And I'll tell you what, it makes a lot more sense why some of the things happened the way they did here in Texas. Great stuff from you, my man. Let's do this again another time.
Heck yeah. Awesome, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate you. That's the one, the only three-time World Series winner, Jeremy Affle. All right, we're way up against it. What are we doing next? NFL Stack coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's Fan After Dark.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.